Amazon fall favorites are here to make you say, woo! With low prices on home, woo! Beauty, woo! And fashion brands like Amazon Essentials. Woo! So hold on to your pumpkin spice whatevers and save on fall favorites at Amazon.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Welcome in, everybody. Zach Jones, Josh Mint here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We've got a Sabres game tonight, the Amari Cooper trade from yesterday. And, of course, the Bills do come off that win against the Jets. A lot of fun heading into the middle of October. We still got a little bit under a month here until the actual NFL trade deadline. But it was really – I mean, it was fun yesterday,
Big day
Josh.
Yesterday,
it was fun yesterday to see – there were ultimately became three trades because Cam Akers also gets moved to the Vikings. But it was really fun to see just the two teams that played on Monday night both go, you know what? We need to do this, and we're going to do it now.
Well, it's funny because you said it before the show. The Jets have made back-to-back huge moves on Tuesdays.
Love it. Like, well, I love that it's just they've decided Tuesday is going to be their day to do things.
Like, isn't that the stock market, like the in the 1920s, the Black Tuesday or whatever?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, that's just every single Tuesday for the Jets.
But they go from firing Robert Saleh. You get the whole week of that, and now we're going to get a whole week of Davante Adams, who's, by the way, hamstring miraculously healed. They're hoping he plays on Sunday night.
That's crazy. That flight over must have been – they must have done something, new medical miracle on that flight from Las Vegas to New York.
Miracles of modern medicine.
He's just healed.
It's stunning. Yeah. But I will say I've been thinking about both of these trades. Number one, the Davante Adams trade, one of the least surprising moves, I think, of the season so far. You can even throw in the offseason as well. Because it's just everyone sort of knew Vegas doesn't want to pay anything, and the Jets are desperate.
And Rodgers wants his buddy back.
Yeah, they want to make Rodgers as happy as humanly possible.
Did you see their appearance on Pat McAfee's show yesterday?
Well, yeah, because
Rodgers was there, and then he just pans the camera up to Davante Adams.
Well, because the whole thing there, too, was like, oh, he's already in the building.
It's like, yeah, you think?
and like he was like, oh, okay, and then he's on his appearance with Pat McAfee, and it's like, oh yeah, he took a red eye at like 3 a.m.
I'm willing.
This trade's been done for a while.
I'm willing to bet that this is just me speculating. I think he was in New York Monday night.
I mean, it felt like it.
I really think that he left Vegas before the Raiders even played on Sunday.
He's like, I'm out. I'm done.
Like he
I cannot
just
do this. Just, I am done.
Okay, no, I think he probably had to be at that game. So he was probably there at the game and immediately left. See you guys, I'm out.
It was just, but it was fun to see that happen. And then a few hours later, and even listening to Ian Rapoport, who was at the NFL owners meetings, I saw it last night, basically say, yeah, the Bills pivoted pretty quickly after they knew they weren't going to get Adams. And this deal got done very quickly. So to see the Bills move at seemingly a breakneck pace to get this done, add the guy that I know many fans have brought up, I've been bringing him up a lot of who I preferred over Adams, I'm incredibly excited for the move. I think the passing game looked better against the Jets, but they were very clearly still missing that outside boundary wide receiver who could stretch the field, make big plays. You know, too many times, Josh, they were going to Mac Hollins on those deep shots, 15 plus yards down the field.
Yeah.
And he wasn't coming up with any of them. I know Cooper leads the league in drops with 9. But
look who's throwing him the football.
Well, I think that plays into it.
I can't stress that enough.
But to be fair, he also does have drop issues. Like not just Watson.
Right.
That's been a part of his career.
But
in terms of him leading the league, though, already and assuming that pace is just going to continue, I don't think so.
No. And I think a large part of that, too, I think it kind of gets overlooked sometimes, but I feel like the feeling of being checked out for a team, like I just don't want to be here anymore, that is definitely real. And I think that's super prevalent with a lot of Browns players right now, because even like look at like Jerry Jeudy. He had a first good few weeks, and then it just kind of
It seems to be the only person excited to play for the Browns right now is Nick Chubb, and that's because he's coming off an injury.
It's also because
he's like, I want to play football again.
He's been there forever, and he's kind of like their guy, really. I mean, if you think about reliable Browns players,
him and Myles Garrett.
Yeah, right. So if you're Nick Chubb, it's like, yeah, I get to come back, but I have to play with these people. Apparently,
I'm here.
Yeah.
But it's an exciting move. It's one that I wanted them to make. I didn't know if they would, though. Honestly,
I didn't know
how much the Bills were going to go into this year's draft, you know, draft capital room or what have you, and actually push for the season. I wonder, though, if them winning on Monday night kind of pushed them into a situation of, we can do something this year. We just need to make this move. Like, I do wonder if they lose to the Jets on Monday night. Or, and I know Sal brought it up yesterday with Chopin the Bulldog, you know, what if the Adams trade isn't made? Do the Bills then go for Cooper? Or, as, you know, Rapport put it, like, you know, do they maybe stay with Adams? Although he kind of put it as, like, once they knew they weren't going to get him, and I imagine that had more to do with taking on his entire salary.
Right, that's the part that kind of shocked me the most with the Jets, is that they took on the entire salary. I think that's the only reason why the Bills weren't able to swing this trade, is because they probably wanted, they being the Raiders, probably wanted any team trading for him to take the entire salary.
Yeah, take it
the
all.
The Jets are willing to do that, which, that's fine. You know, we can get to them more in a little bit, but the Jets getting Devontae Adams, it's a good move, but it's also not the move that's going to save their season.
Yeah, we were talking about it right before we jumped on air today, and that was my big thing, is I think both of these moves are desperate. I heard Jeremy and Joe talking about this too. I think both of these moves are desperate. For the Bills, I think they very quickly realized, I'd even say before the Houston game, I'd say Baltimore, they kind of realized, ooh, we don't have anybody that's stretching the field.
Let's just feel it out, see how things go here. And that, it took 2 weeks, but then it's... You know.
Oh, I mean, yeah, you also got to like wait for the trade market to actually open up.
Right, I mean, and I think if the Devontae trade, if the Adams trade doesn't happen, not necessarily, you know, to the Jets, but if it just doesn't happen at all yesterday, I don't think the Cooper trade happens either. I think that Cooper trade, regardless of who gets Adams, that Cooper trade happens hours afterwards because he's the next best thing after Devontae Adams. And that, I'm not saying the Bills would have made that trade, but, you know, anyone that was in on these two players I think would have made a move very shortly afterwards.
Yeah, I agree with that. So I mean, you bring in Adams if you're the Jets. I don't think it fixes a lot of your issues. Nope. I think a lot of the reason why your 2-4 are still prevalent. You cannot stop the run, and you can't keep Rodgers upright. The Bills' pass rush is compromised without Von Miller there. I mean, they ultimately get 3 sacks. Should have had 4. A.J. Epinesa had a fantastic game. One of them... We all know the one.
Even Rodgers said,
yeah.
Even Rodgers said it should have counted.
But their pass rush has been compromised. They need to get better on the O-line. The problem is, though, their needs. A defensive tackle you could probably add and help out your run defense, even with an edge rusher as well. Offensive line is tough.
You're right.
It's the same saying now in college football. You can't build an offensive line through the transfer portal. You have to kind of grow.
You have to have these guys. They have to have chemistry.
Yeah, you got to grow that group together.
Right.
So on that part, they're kind of stuck where they're at. They tried to do a lot this offseason. It hasn't really worked all that well. They could add on the defense. I think this move for them, which is funny, it's coming off of Rodgers' best passing game of the year.
I was going to say, he was 6 yards shy, or not 6 yards, about...
He was just shy of 300.
Just shy of 300. The last Jets quarterback to pass for 300 was Zach Wilson.
Wasn't that last year?
Yes. Yeah.
Love that.
Rodgers has not gotten over 300 yards yet this year, partially because of that offensive line. But I do think it's also in part of who he has to throw the ball to. Because, yes, he has Garrett Wilson, but we haven't seen that click like it was hyped up to be. That has never come to fruition the way that it seemed like it would.
Well, it finally did on Monday night.
Well, right, it did. But up to that point, it hasn't really done anything. And other than that, if Mike Williams, who...
Well, he's out. Yeah, it's not official, but that's going to be done and over
with. And then
with.
Who else? Nobody.
Alan Lazard.
He
keeps going to Alan Lazard.
Right.
The last 2 weeks, Rodgers has been able to get Wilson the ball. He's had over 100 yards in each of the last games. He had 23 targets, though, against Minnesota, which is never good.
Man.
So, they do need to add a receiver.
But not, like I said, we were talking about this, and I think if you flip the two, if Adams goes to Buffalo and Cooper goes to the Jets, both trades make more sense in terms of what those players do. Because Buffalo while Cooper will help, I'm very excited for Cooper to get into the system and work with this offense. Davante Adams was that X-factor type player that the Bills wide receiver group needed.
Mm-hmm.
Cooper is that perfect 1B or number two wide receiver behind Garrett Wilson that can just take some of the pressure off and be that extra guy every once in a while and be that guy that can just, you know, oh, Wilson's double covered. Oh, look, Cooper's wide open.
Yeah.
Cool. Like, that's where I look at these two trades. And obviously, like I said, I'm happy with the Bills trade, but I just think that if you look at what these two teams actually need, the two players should flip.
I see. I'm not there. I mean, I've been on adding Cooper for a few weeks here now, and really the big part of it for me was moving everyone down a peg. You know, Cooper now takes that outside spot. Now I think they can move Keon Coleman more into the inside.
Yeah, but
where
I think
before he's had to play on the outside. They don't have anybody else.
But Davante Adams can do that too. He can also
move Coleman in. I don't really know if he's a yak guy though.
Fair.
I think Cooper adds more of that yak ability, which is what they want.
He does have great yards. Or separation yards.
Yep,
so
it's one of his best of his career. He's always been that guy.
Like I said, along with that, I
don't really want the Bills to have to pay a ton of money. Like, that's where I was just always against Adams. Number one, he's 2 years older, or he's going to be 2 years older than Cooper. Where with Amari Cooper, you don't have to sign him back after this year. I actually kind of arguably prefer you don't. I would like them to keep going younger.
I'm interested to see if they do, though, because it depends on if he performs well. And he, you know, gets into the system right away, then why not sign into a 1 or 2 year deal? You know, like, now I'm not saying bring him around long term. He is 30.
Mm-hmm.
He's an old 30, it feels like, because it feels like he's been in the league forever. But
I think he got drafted when he was 20.
I think so. He's been in the league for a long time.
10 years, yeah.
But I think that, you know, you have to see how he does. But if you can keep him around and add someone in the offseason and then get younger with someone in the draft. Like, that's the three things that
we've
been talking about, especially with all the cap space coming up. I mean, that's the one thing where I'm not sure if they will keep him around, because if they have all this cap space and someone becomes available, I think they're going to go get him. But you don't really know who that is now, because Davante Adams was with the Jets. You don't know if he's going to re-sign there. And all the other guys you could sign long-term are kind of eh. You know, like,
the free agent list is never going to look good for wide receivers because, and I believe Jeremy's brought this up a lot, where it's a lot like quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys get paid,
right?
The good guys get paid.
They're high value players.
Yep. But the most you can hope for is like a solid, this dude's pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, he's our second, third wide receiver.
Like I said, I'm not saying this trade isn't good. I'm very happy with the trade. I just think that, like, if you look at what these two teams needed heading into or after Monday night's game, what they both looked like they needed, if the trade's flipped, I think it's even better. It's good right now, but I think it could be great if you flip the trades.
I don't think so. You still have to take on Adams' contract. You still have to do that. It's not just the player.
But it's only for 1 year.
Sure. And you already had to eat up $30 million of cap. You don't have that cap space.
Right.
You have to release somebody. They already had to release MBS, but you're going to release somebody. You're going to have to do way too much, plus giving up that third-round pick, where now for the Bills, it's a third-round pick and
probably
800 grand.
Second.
Yeah.
For Adams,
probably doesn't. He's got to be an all-pro, or they make the Super Bowl.
Well, if it was the Bills, I'm saying. I think it's easily a second. Right, I mean, there's no way that if Davante Adams is on the Bills, there's no way that he doesn't become a Pro Bowler or make it to the championship game or the Super Bowl.
It's all Pro. We're too far through the season. Yeah,
okay.
We're too far through the season at this point. He would have to put up, funny enough, like Amari Cooper getting traded to Dallas numbers.
But and it's funny because, like, looking at these trades like broken down, I saw somebody posted this yesterday. The Jets trade the third round pick. The Bills trade a third and a seventh.
Mm.
Earlier in the season, at the end of the offseason, the Eagles traded a third and 2 sevenths for Jahan Dotson.
Yeah. A part of me does want to, like, stay a little bit more, like, level key about it, because far too many times the Bills haven't been a part of these wide receiver trades. Everyone makes a big hoopla about it, how this is going to be an amazing move, it's going to change the dynamic, how could the league let this happen, what have you. You know, I remember the Jahan Dotson trade, because it's not that long ago. All I kept seeing was Howie Roseman again. What a wizard! The whole thing
through six games this year, Dotson has 6 receptions for 35 yards,
and they haven't had AJ Brown for a while.
Yeah,
they just
it's not
got him
like
back.
He's being outplayed.
Devonta Smith also was out for a while.
Mm-hmm.
They he's not good, which, I mean, to be fair, every report out of Washington was telling you Jahan Dotson's not that good. Like, every report was telling you that. So that's interesting. And we will get more of an idea. Tomorrow we're going to have a Cleveland Browns reporter on just to get a better idea of what's going on with Cooper. He's leading the league, or he led the Browns so far in catches, yards, and I think touchdowns. So, I mean, like, he's been able to put up okay numbers on a team that still hasn't scored 20 points in a game.
Mm-hmm.
But
wild.
Not just on the Jahan Dotson thing, but, like, you know, go back to Kadarius Toney from a few years ago with Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's so many of these moves where it just the next day on talk shows and TV and what have you, it's this is going to change the dynamic. Again, how could the league let this happen, what have you? And then all of a sudden, nothing really happens. Sometimes they absolutely work.
Yeah. I mean,
I would be very surprised, though, if both Adams and Cooper worked.
With Devontae Adams, though, I think that the ability for him there to succeed is it's there. But is the ability with Rodgers anymore? I don't think it is. Even if he had a better offensive line, mm-hmm. I just don't – like what we saw on Monday night, sure, Aaron Rodgers can still throw the deep ball. Sure, he can
but that man has
complete
no
a
patience.
Hail Mary with two guys rushing him, which is still – 24-hour rule, I'm sorry. But
it is interesting, though. He checked into that play.
Yeah, right.
It was not – looking back on it, the Bills maybe playing the sidelines, probably the right move. And then mm-hmm. and then Rodgers, being the long-term veteran that he is, checked into a Hail Mary.
Right, right. But I just think that, like you said, the patience on the interception to seal the game, Breece Hall is wide open with mm-hmm. probably 15 yards ahead of him on the first down marker.
I've also never heard the verbiage Rodgers used, like the red line and stuff like that. And
oh,
it's a bad throw.
Oh, yeah. He's way underthrown. I mean, to be fair, Taron Johnson makes an incredible interception.
Oh, it's an unbelievable interception.
Because I think if he doesn't get there, Mike Williams probably catches that. It was his hands.
I'm not sure. I just
it might be close. They might, you know, have to. They'd probably have to replay, like do replays on it. But it looked very close to if Johnson is half a second later, either that ball is just knocked out or it's even possibly mm-hmm. caught. But it was a bad throw.
Yeah.
And again, like you said, he just didn't show any patience whatsoever all night long. He hasn't
should
really have had a fumble
year.
As well.
He hasn't all year.
Should have had a fumble in that game. That still.
But he hasn't shown any patience all year. He looks like a guy that is 40 years old
mm-hmm.
dealing with a team that is trying to figure out how to win, and he's frustrated by it.
Do you think he's playing scared too? Do you think he's getting nervous of, like, getting hit again?
No, not getting hit again. I think in terms of the playing scared, I do think there is something there where Rodgers, I think we all can acknowledge it because it is true. He is the best, like, free play guy.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's not a free play, he doesn't really like to push the ball down the field.
No.
That's a big reason why his interception numbers throughout the years have been down. He has always been a guy, I'm going to take exactly what the defense gives me. I just have for a long time, had the best arm in football. Mm-hmm. I can fit it into tight windows. So if they're giving me a little, I'm going to take a mile.
And we saw one of those tight windows where he threw it. And the ball on the screen.
It grazed Terrell Bernard's hip.
It, from my perspective, it looked like a Madden glitch and the ball went through his body.
It grazed Terrell Bernard's hip. It was a perfect throw.
I didn't understand how that happened.
And that's the thing, too. Like, you can see Rodgers still can make these throws. He's still got the mm-hmm. mind for the right. game. But
well, that never goes away, really. I mean, you never really lose that.
No, I always think of the Ray Lewis quote from years ago. I think it was his, like, football life that they put on NFL mm-hmm. Network, where he talked about, you know, there is a saying within, like, football locker rooms of just when you finally, like, everything makes sense. You know everything you can know about the game of football, your body gives up. You run out of time.
Interesting. Wow. That's
and
kind
it's,
of...
And it's been a thing where with quarterbacks,
kind of
though,
hits hard.
I know. But with quarterbacks, it's a little different. Quarterbacks have been able to play much longer now. So these guys are... I mean, we saw it with Tom Brady. He played to, like, what, 44? And won a Super Bowl at, like, 42. Like,
right.
And he was still putting up insane passing numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Rodgers, you're seeing it. Like, he can still put up numbers. But his body is falling fast. Every game, it feels like this year, definitely the last three, he is taking hits that causes him to get up and limp towards the side or limp towards the line of scrimmage.
I thought he was going to
have. He is having a really difficult time.
He had one in this past game. I mean, it looked. They were talking about, oh, Rodgers is, you know, bent over here. He looks like he's in pain, and then he just stands up and walks down the field. And I'm like, okay,
it's just like, I don't know how he gets to this season. I don't think he plays again after this year.
Mm-mm.
That's the worst part. I think I saw something yesterday that the Jets were already kind of able to rework Adams' contract, so they're looking forward to more years there.
Yeah,
but I just don't really know how you're going to get Rodgers for more than this year.
Yeah,
I just don't know.
I think if he would have went into a scenario where he had a better offensive line, and I'm not saying the Bills have the best offensive line, but if he had an offensive line like the Bills,
mm-hmm.
where you're very well protected for most of the time.
Yeah.
He would look like a completely different person. This would be a completely different last couple of years. I mean, you never know, obviously, but maybe he doesn't get hurt last year. Maybe he plays a whole season mm-hmm. with the Jets in his first year there. And it just seemed like they were never prepared for him to come there and be competitive.
Well, that was another desperation move.
Right.
Zach Wilson has failed. We might lose our jobs. We need to make this move now.
Yeah, instead of, being patient and just drafting someone that isn't Zach Wilson, or just after Zach Wilson fails, you draft someone and actually, develop them.
Mm-hmm.
No, let's go out and get this 40-year-old veteran that maybe is well past his prime.
Yeah, it's tough. I can understand both moves. I understand the Bills, though, more. I think for the Jets, yeah. I don't think Kyle Brandt said it yesterday, I think perfectly, or at least I saw him tweet it out. The Jets now need to go 9-2 the rest of the way to secure a playoff spot.
And to make
not necessarily definitely make the playoffs, but to secure one and know you're in.
And to make that trade make sense. Not make sense, but justify the trade.
Yeah. Where the Bills are 4-2 and have a softer part of their schedule coming up.
Mm-hmm. The next four games we viewed it as...
Tennessee is one of the best passing defense in the league. They're 1-4. I mean, that tells you a lot about where that team is at.
Right, and when we talked about the schedule in the offseason, this next set of four games coming up for the Bills was viewed as this is the cushion mm-hmm. period. You had your tough first 5 weeks, 6 weeks. You have your Kansas City, your San Francisco, Detroit,
LA. Still down the line.
That's all coming. But right now, the Bills next up have the Titans, the Seahawks, the Dolphins, and the Colts.
Yep.
That's your next cushiony window of okay, you made it here. Now go win the games you're supposed to win and get ready for Kansas City. Get ready for San Francisco.
I will say, though, and hearing both Sean McDermott and Joe Brady speak about the Cooper trade and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I do wonder how quickly they're actually going to get Cooper involved.
Yeah,
Jets, it seems like Adams, he's a go for Sunday
but
night.
Don't
even worry about it.
If you think about it, there is, in a normal scenario, that trade also makes a ton of sense because of the past, knowledge there. Because he's not only with Aaron Rodgers again, he's also with Nathaniel Hackett again.
Of course, yeah, so that makes sense.
Even though Hackett's not calling plays, it's still his system. It's still his offense.
Mm-hmm.
And Adams has played in that. He played in that for, 4 or 5 years with Rodgers?
Good bit, yeah. I mean, I think that's the key is, even if he doesn't know certain plays, Rodgers just tell him, hey, do this.
Yeah, and he'll know exactly because they know each other. They're familiar with each other.
One of the best combinations in the league. I don't necessarily know about league history, but definitely for, their period, it was one of the best.
Yeah, I would love to see the Bills get Cooper in this week. I don't know if it happens. We don't
just have him be ready by Seattle.
Yeah, for sure.
If he's not super prepared and can be a full go this weekend, I think you're fine. It is Tennessee. They are 1-4. And you are getting healthier. I think it's another week where Shakir's healthier, what have you. He's still on the field. I'm not saying he's gonna be healthy and active.
What if Cooper, takes on kind of like what Shakir did this past week in a more of a limited role of just getting out there?
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily a focal point by any means. It's still very much Shakir, Coleman, Hollins, Kincaid, all that stuff. But I want to see him get involved early. I think that it's important too because of what he's been going through in Cleveland, where it's, if it was the scenario of, the player has kind of checked out here, they don't really want to play anymore. We don't know if that's what it was, but it very well could have been. It's a terrible situation in Cleveland.
Yeah. Oh, it's,
and
it's
so
the
if,
worst.
If that's what he's coming from, you kind of have to have him check back in pretty quickly because it is week 7. It is, again, the softer part of your schedule, but this is the perfect time to ramp him up and have him ready for later in the season, the playoffs, all of those important games.
Yeah.
These are the games where you can put him in there in more of a limited role and just have him get used to the offense.
Yeah, if he's in a limited role for Tennessee, I'm fine with that. If the snap count's low, I'm fine. That's cool, whatever.
Well, Shakir had a 38% snap count or something like that?
When obviously dealing with the ankle.
Right,
seemed like he was going to be just a third down receiver. I don't know if that ended up happening, but it felt like it.
But if that's what Cooper is this week, I would love it.
I just kind of want him ready to go for Seattle.
Yeah.
That's really about it. Let's go to the phones here. We've got Ray on the line. Ray, how are we doing today?
Excellent. Thank you. I who cannot love this trade? You know, it makes me think, Chiefs, how come you didn't do this? Or anybody else that...
They're kicking themselves.
Oh, my gosh. But here's my question, and I haven't listened a lot to know if this has already been talked about. If the Bills do not re-sign Cooper, and he goes to be a free agent, you know, which would command a lot of money, because he always has, are we eligible for a compensatory pick, which then ends up being basically a free rental player? You know, to me, the sixth and seventh round swaps are an even thing. If we even get a fourth round pick as a compensatory pick, if we're eligible, to me, that's even. I mean, is this like a free guy in a way if we don't re-sign him?
Ray, thanks for the call. It's sadly not, even if it was, I think it's because Cooper was not on the opening day roster.
Joe and Jeremy looked this up earlier. Mm-hmm. Joe was saying something with has to do with void years and things like that.
Yep.
But it would be great. I mean, that would be a super cool loophole in the system.
Yeah.
You know, but unfortunately, no.
And I got Sal here too. Due to him being a 10-year vet, it would be a fifth at best. And then along with that, it actually wouldn't even be this offseason. It would be the next offseason, 2026. So it'd be, you get a free play if this were, and it's not, if you were even to get a comp pick, it would be, you know, the next year, which would be nice, but it's, as Sal put it, a fifth at best. Not great. They may, though, have like 3 4th round picks this year, though, due to comp picks.
Yeah,
so
which is cool. And I mean,
yeah, getting rid of that third didn't hurt nearly as bad when you might have 3 4ths
and
2 seconds.
And you have 2 seconds.
Yeah. That makes it kind of feel good.
Right.
803-0550 is the number to call. How are we feeling about the Amari Cooper trade? What would you like to see, or how quickly do you want to see Cooper get implemented into the offense? We'll love to hear your thoughts. 803-0550, again, the number to call. But coming up after a quick timeout, we'll get a look at the Sabres as they begin a back-to-back road series. Pittsburgh tonight, Columbus tomorrow. Pre-game for both those games starting at 6 for 7 p.m. Puck drops. We'll get a look in on the Sabres with Paul Hamilton. Again, that's coming up after a quick timeout. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
Amazon fall favorites are here to make you say, woo! With low prices on home, woo! Beauty, woo! And fashion brands like Amazon Essentials. Woo! So hold on to your pumpkin spice whatevers and save on fall favorites at Amazon.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Paul Hamilton.
Mamma mia, here I go again. Mama, how can I resist you? Mamma mia, does it show again? Mama, just how much I missed you. Yeah.
Welcome back, everybody. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Sabres are in action tonight and tomorrow. Tonight, though, they are in Pittsburgh, a 7 p.m. puck drop, 6 p.m. pregame right here on WGR. And with that, we go to the Wester Hotline as Paul Hamilton joins the show. Paul, how are we doing this morning?
I'm well. How are you?
Doing very well. How about the Yankees real quick? Look at that.
Yeah, I got to see the last half inning. That was it because I was traveling yesterday. So But I got to the hotel to see them finish it off, which was nice. And then, of course, watched the post game, so I got the highlights. But, yeah, 2-0. But I'm never one that it's like, well, there's still a long ways to go. Let me know when they get to 4.
Right, right. So you are in Pittsburgh then?
Yes.
Fantastic. Oh, I have not been to Pittsburgh in so long. Mike Shope went to Pittsburgh this weekend. I'm like, I got to get over there. It's the 3-hour drive and not really having weekends free anymore, Paul. That just leads me to be like, I'll do it later. And then 5 years pass and I haven't gone yet.
5 years passed. Jeez.
It's been a while. It's been a while.
5 years ago?
It's been a while since I've been to Pittsburgh. So, Paul, for tonight, though, I think the big story heading into tonight's game is J.J. Paterka even going to play. It felt like he was maybe going to play over the weekend. That didn't end up happening. It's kind of been a lot of, you know, we hope he's, you know, good enough to go. We think he's going to do well. He did well at practice, but it's been a bit of a slow roller here.
Yeah, he's been practicing hard. There's no question about that. There's been no restrictions on him there. Lindy Ruff said yesterday that he hopes to have him tomorrow. You know, we'll see how he gets through practice and morning skates, for the most part, are just optional. Now, he has been out for morning skates so far, even though they're optional. So we talked to Lindy in about a half hour, and we'll see what he says about it.
Anything on Zach Benson or pretty much the same thing? Because he sounded like it was a little more closer, but they wanted to be 100% on him before
he
gets in the lineup.
Yeah, he just, you know, Benson, he kind of feels that Benson wanted to play so badly, maybe he came back too early. He just feels, Lindy Ruff feels that he's not himself. He hasn't seen Zach Benson in the last couple of games. That's one of the reasons why when they went down to three lines, he was not part of the three lines and sat the bench for a lot of that game. I think he had one shift in the third period. So, we'll see on him, because if Paterka plays, somebody has to come out. I don't know if he wants to pull Kulik out. He's liked him so far. So Benson might be the guy, considering that Lindy just doesn't feel he's 100%.
Looking back to the Sabres' last game they played, 5-2 win over Florida. They went down early, but then had a really good finish of the first period. They were able to actually, you know, kind of finish the game, Paul, which is something we've talked about that oftentimes they can't. 5-2 win, and Devon Levi, is he sort of taking hold of that number one goalie spot? This could have been bad on me. I wasn't totally paying attention going into the night. Texas and Oklahoma were playing. That's on me, but I'm not going to apologize for it. Is he, though, sort of taking that number one goalie spot from UPL, or is it still kind of play the hot hand? We're going to see how it goes.
No. I mean, Lucan has been fine, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, they both played well. Levi tends to see more shots than Lukanen does. I mean, Lukanen's goals against is 2.56, and Levi's is 2.57. So, I think right now they're going to stay with the plan, especially with a back-to-back. They're going to stay with the plan of alternating. So that would, if they do that, that would put Lukanen in today's game, Levi in tomorrow's, and Lukanen against Chicago. If they keep doing that, I kind of thought that starting the year that they would roll with Lukanen since he really took the number one job last year. But right now it's more like the Bruins did last year, just mm-hmm. go back and forth between the two goaltenders. At least that's what they've done through the first four games.
So one thing that we saw on Saturday that was a little interesting was the 11-7. Do you think that could potentially be something again, or do you think that might have just been a you know, on the spot sort of decision?
I said this the other night. I wasn't 100% buying that they just wanted to get Gilbert in the lineup since he played less than 5 minutes. It was Sam Lafferty. Ruff wasn't happy with him. He talked about it yesterday that two offensive zone penalties was part of it. He felt he's not getting out of Sam Lafferty what he felt he could be getting out of him. So that's why. I mean, did he want to get Gilbert into the lineup, a harder player against a hard team? Yes, true. Get him his first game. But Lafferty is a hard player also. It's not like you took a guy who, you know, who plays like Olsson, who plays in the perimeter and, you know, that kind of thing. I mean, Lafferty's hard to play against, too, when he's on his game. So that's what made me suspicious of the whole thing. And Lindy Ruff confirmed what I was thinking yesterday, that I was thinking pretty much the two offensive zone penalties.
which are non-negotiable to Lindy Ruff. And he said that was part of it, but he said he's had a conversation with Lafferty and he expects more.
Paul, another player I do want to ask you about here is Jordan Greenway. I've been really impressed just in kind of everything he's been doing. He's seemingly been willing to grind it out. He scored a goal against Florida. He's seemingly been everywhere on a team that up until Saturday was bereft of goals. He's kind of been one of the bright spots to start this year.
Yeah, he's been that way since he's arrived, basically, but people just haven't been noticing, maybe because the team plays poorly. But there's nobody better at getting into the zone quickly and causing turnovers. That's why Thompson likes playing with him, mm-hmm. because you know he constantly gets in there, wins the battles, causes turnovers, and that creates opportunity for Tuck and Thompson when he's with them. And you know, he did that when Thompson scored that one goal in Europe. You know, Greenway was out there with the two of them, and the three of them crashed the net and you know, got the goal. But that's what he does. I talked to him for pregame tonight, and it's like the anticipation he has is just unbelievable. You know, it's sometimes he looks like he knows what the other team's going to do before they do, and positions himself very well to be able to do that. So it's interesting with him and with that. So yeah, he's been very good. Now, you know, is he going to fight? If he has to, he will. But he's not a fighter, and that's, you know, in Buffalo, if you're not a fighter, you're not a good hockey player in so many people's minds. So that's why he gets so much flack. I mean, I was reading articles where, well, Greenway might be the odd guy out, you know, preseason articles, or he's going to be on the last line. And what? No, that's not going to happen. He's not going to be the odd man out, or he's not going to be getting 8 minutes of ice time. I mean, he's an important part of this team. And he might be one of the best penalty killers in the NHL, not just on the Sabres, in the NHL. With the anticipation, the smartness, and the reach that he has, he does an excellent job penalty killing. And, yeah, all right, he's probably not going to score 20 goals for you. But with all the other things he does he? I don't think he needs to score 20 goals because he's so good at all the rest of the things that lead to offense, lead to defending, lead to good penalty killing.
Someone else that has kind of shined with Greenway is Ryan McLeod. I've really liked him so far. And do you think that they're just kind of feeding off of each other, or do you think that's just McLeod's style of play and it's just, you know, playing well with Greenway? Or, like, is it a chemistry thing? Is it a just both playing the same style? Like, what do you think it is?
Well, Greenway is playing with the new guys, but you got to remember, too, Zucker played with Greenway in Minnesota, so mm-hmm. they know each other.
Mm, that's right.
But, he gets the two new guys. What McLeod brings, we knew it when they traded for him, is the speed and a good two-way player. And he's an excellent two-way player. He brings that speed, which backs teams off. When you got that kind of speed, it backs the other teams off. He can win faceoffs. He's at 55.6 winning faceoffs. I mean, Lindy Ruff had talked about when he was hired that the Sabres needed to improve on that. And they were, if they weren't the worst team in the league, they were pretty close to the worst team in the league, and faceoffs have been for years. Thompson's at 53.5, Krebs is at 54.6, McLeod's at 55.6, and Cousins is at 52.2. They're all up there. That's something that guys who weren't good at faceoffs have worked on, obviously, because at least through four games, they've done an excellent job, and McLeod is one of those guys, along with the speed that he provides, the penalty killing that he provides. Another guy that, are you expecting 20 goals out of? No. Double figures wouldn't be unreasonable for either him or Greenway. But it's the other things that they do, you need those types of players. You just can't have everybody scoring 20 goals. You know, 12 forwards, they all score. You need a mixture of players, and that's what the Sabres are trying to do with some of the things that they've done in the offseason.
All right, Paul, no more positives here, because we do got to bring up the fact that through four games, they still have not scored on the power play, and it doesn't really look all that good at all. I mean, they're hitting the post a lot, and you've mentioned it. You don't know if there's maybe a team out there that hits the post more. But there are at times you almost want them to be a man down because the penalty kill looks more dangerous than the actual power play. What have you seen through four games? Because I'm getting to a point, too, like when they get a power play, I roll my eyes going, all right, how upset am I going to be over these next 2 minutes?
Well, they are getting better from the standpoint of they can at least get into the zone now.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
They couldn't even get it past the blue line to start the season. But they're still forcing plays. They get antsy. Next thing you know, they're trying to force passes or force shots that get blocked. And then, you know, the passes get picked off or deflected and out they go. So, you know, that's been the biggest problem I've seen lately is just they continue to try to force plays and then the other team gets it and goes. You know, I can't say, well, they're battling hard in front of the net because I don't think they're getting that far to battle hard in front of the net. You know, they it's not that often that they get set up that they can start getting the battles going in front of the net. So that's still incomplete as far as talking about are they battling more, are they battling harder. They are coming out with some pucks, as I said, that they have the puck, they have control, they make a few passes, but the other team pressures them, and that's what teams do. They've realized you pressure the Sabres, they'll get all discombobulated. There'll be a little bit of panic in their game, and they probably will force something for you. So that's something they have to do, too. They don't have to respect the point shot because it's rare that Dahlin and Power shoot. So they don't have to worry about the guy, you know, quarterbacking the power play, which is key. I mean, that guy has to start shooting. The other teams have to start honoring it because that will help open up some other things for you.
So, Paul, the other big bit of news from this earlier in this week, on Monday, we had a bit of a scuffle at practice. I mean, what's your take on it? And, you know, how do you think that's going to affect things, if at all? I mean, it sounded like both.
I can't even remember the last fight I've seen in practice.
I was trying to think, too. The big hit, too, like that looked super just odd for an NHL practice.
Well, Dahlin got annoyed because Krebs accidentally high-sticked him in front of the net. The video did not show that. And then, you know, they came back. If the problem I had is you went for the knees. What are you doing? Mm-hmm. That's a teammate. Yeah. If you've got a problem, drop your gloves and go. Don't go for the knees. And that you're the captain of the team, and you got a guy coming from center ice, and you're mad at him, and you go for the hip check at the knees. No, that's totally wrong. That's not right at all. If you're mad, just drop the gloves like you wound up doing and go. I mean, don't try to take his knees out from him.
All right, Paul. Pre-game coming up at 6, 7 p.m. puck drop, and you said Lindy Ruff's going to be speaking here, what, in the 11 o'clock hour?
Yeah, about 11:10, somewhere in there.
All right, sounds good. Paul, enjoy the rest of your day. We'll talk to you for pregame.
Take care, guys.
That was Paul Hamilton there on the Wester Hotline as we do get ready for Sabres and Penguins coming up at 7 o'clock. Yeah, I think Paul's spot on, too, in that point of, like, don't go for the knees.
Right.
I did like the energy of, like, the fact that, like, they were that ticked off four games in to, like, fight or whatever happened. You know, ultimately it ends up being kind of like a mishap before earlier in practice. But at the time, it was like, cool. Like, I love that the energy's up. Like, I enjoyed that from the Kings game to the Panthers game, it felt like they were playing the same style. They didn't go away. They didn't change things, which was a big problem under Granato.
Yeah, and it also felt like against Florida, you matched Florida's type of play.
And like you went down early. You went down early and didn't stop going.
They were down for what, 10 minutes? Not even?
Not even.
It was something very quick afterwards. I know they scored. So I really liked how they played, and I hope they can continue that against Pittsburgh. I know they've had their own issues against Pittsburgh, but
it would be nice, though, if after this week we can all kind of maybe sit back and go, okay, Prague just was not a good run. But outside of that, they've been good, or what have you. Or, like, again, they're not going to start off incredibly hot unless they go on like a 7-game win streak here, and all of a sudden you're like, yeah, they're 7-3 or what have you. But if we can all, you know, after a week or after, you know, the next 4 or 5 games go, Prague was just kind of an anomaly. You know, that ultimately didn't work for them down in training camp practices. Okay, here we go. I think you're in good shape. And I've liked a good bit of what I've seen from the Sabres. To me, really, it has been the power play and just how bad you've been on it. That was the thing that potentially sank you last year. and you still haven't scored on it. I know Jeremy put up the moral victory for tonight. For me, it's I don't care if you go 1 for 5 on the power play. Just give me a goal on the power play to make me believe you actually can do it. 803-0550, the number to call. You want to get your thoughts in on the Sabres or, of course, the Bills trading for Amari Cooper. Always love to hear on that. Coming up in just about 10 minutes, Sal Capaccio will join the show. We are expected to hear from Bills head coach Sean McDermott later on, a little bit after 12:30. You know, Amari Cooper, is he in Buffalo yet? What have you? We'll get Sal's thoughts on that trade as well. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. You're listening to WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Quick segment here as we get ready for Sal Capaccio coming up at the top of the hour. Real quick, though, lost in all of the trade news yesterday, the Pittsburgh Steelers reportedly are going to be giving Russell Wilson first-team reps this week in practice, likely meaning that Justin Fields is going to get benched against the Jets for Sunday Night Football. Why?
Yeah,
I don't really have much else after he's 4-2.
Yeah,
you're not going to score more with Russell Wilson. Let's stop right there. Like, it's not like your offense is going to take a turn and well, now here we are. Now we're competing with the big boys. No,
this is the real offense. No, this what you have
is what you have
is working.
Yeah,
why would you go away from that? And I don't care that you got Russell Wilson.
I think Mike Tomlin was outright asked, like, do you expect then Russell Wilson to have like the same escapability that you saw this past weekend? And he was just, no, like, no, I don't.
It's
very weird.
I know. And I don't understand like what the point is. Like, you're not sending a message. It's not like Fields hasn't been helping you win. Sure. Maybe they would be better with Russell Wilson, but I doubt it.
This is Tomlin after not naming Justin Fields QB1 after a 4-2 start. Quote, Justin has been really good, and we've been really good at times, but not to be confused with great. We've got a player with talent who hasn't had an opportunity to play, so we're going to potentially explore those things. At face value, is a perfectly fine statement.
Yeah, I guess.
And to be honest, they're not really married to either one of these quarterbacks. They got them both this offseason.
But why would you not ride the hot hand? Like, why would you not just keep going with the guy that's given you success so far? Granted, it's mediocre success because they're not, like, blowing teams out. But if anything, it shouldn't matter what quarterback you're starting because your defense is winning you games.
Well, I mean, I think it does matter. And I would rather have a guy like Fields who can extend plays and what have you, especially when your wide receiver group is literally George Pickens, sometimes when he cares to run routes, mm-hmm. and Pat Freiermuth. I'd rather have the guy that has the legs. It's going to be a fun game to watch with everything going on with the Jets and now the Steelers potentially making a QB change. Even if the game itself is bad, I can't wait for Sunday Night Football.
Yeah.
Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Coming up after a quick timeout, we'll get more on the Amari Cooper trade and everything going on with the Bills as Sal Capaccio joins the show next. You're listening to WGR.
Amazon fall favorites are here to make you say, woo! With low prices on home, woo! Beauty, and fashion brands like Amazon Essentials. Woo! So hold on to your pumpkin spice whatevers and save on fall favorites at Amazon.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.